Hey, good morning. Greetings to all in Jesus' name this morning. You count it a privilege to be able to share this morning, but also I tremble with the responsibility of sharing what God has done in my life, and also just recognizing some of the things that have happened and can happen, and so why don't we just commit it to the Lord in prayer this morning as we get started here. Father, I thank you this morning that you have life. I thank you that you have given us eternal life and that you have given us peace and hope. Lord, I do pray this morning for for that peace and hope to settle upon each of the listeners this morning. Father, thank you that we can look to you for our strength. Lord, we do not want to move forward, but through your Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Father, that you have given your Spirit to guide us, Lord. So we commit this time to you, Father. We just pray that you would anoint my lips and you would just help me to share what needs to be shared and leave behind what needs to be left behind. So we thank you, Father, and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, as I said, you know, I feel the weight of the responsibility of what I'm about to share. I recognize that what I am about to share could be taken in a wrong way, and it could be misused, and it could actually be used against what I my desire is. I certainly appreciated the words that our brother Don shared with us this morning out of First Peter there, where it talks about suffering and how but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. It just confirms in my heart what the Lord has been laying in my heart to share this morning. I do want to share my testimony, but I also want to have a few other things that I would like to share with that. Kind of fits in with it. You know, we most of you probably know, I grew up in the old Amish setting, and I have a lot of respect for that. I treasure very highly the values and the things that I've learned there. And so I tremble when I share this kind of a testimony that I do not want to in any way cost as wanting to try to tear something down or trying to just justify what I did or where we are or whatever, but I would like to look at this morning. I would like to look at it from the Word of God, and would I like to just, my desire is just that Jesus Christ to be lifted up, and as he is lifted up, all men will be drawn to him. So with that in mind, I have a few, actually quite a bit of scriptures here I would like to share. You know, there's a lot of things that go on as we, coming out of a plain background setting like that can happen and too many times happen. And you know, one of the things that I want to stress here is that I am not, what I'm about to share, I'm not sharing so that in a way that I want to necessarily be just talking about leaving the Amish. Even though I recognize that somebody that truly wants to follow God and with their whole heart, many times that is what happens. But that is not necessarily what I want to focus on this morning. you know, we can look at why that happens and what it is. Well, Jesus gave us many warnings in that area. He warnings, or actually, I look at it many times about just encouragement. He told us what would happen, and basically, those who do not want to go on with the Lord, those who do not want the truth of God to reveal their needs, will hate God's people and God's anointed. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And that's where we need to come to, where we, you know, we desire for the truth of God's word to cut into our hearts, and our we desire to know what is his truth, and we desire to be changed. And that is the heart of what happens many times. People who do not want to change, therefore they do not want to be confronted with truth either. So anyway, John 15, verse 18, it says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." So we know that Jesus Christ was hated, and he said that we will be hated too. "If ye were of the world would love you," verse 19. "But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Verse 21, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not. If I had not come and spoken unto them, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Before they knew the truth, it says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But when Jesus revealed the truth to them, but now they have no cloak for their sin, they cannot hide anymore." And as we, being followers of Jesus, walk in the light and present truth, you know, there's many people in this county that are just simply ignorant. But when they are confronted with truth, they are no longer ignorant. They no longer have any cloak for their sin. John 17, verse 13 says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Then, okay, let's see here. I think that's as far as I'm going to go with that point there. I'll get into a little bit what the Lord has done in my life and our life. I actually grew up under the teachings of Christian parents. I had a unique opportunity that not everybody in the Amish community has. And I count that a very great privilege to have had opportunity. But in spite of all of that, I did not always walk in the ways that they tried to teach me. I got into sins and drinking and immorality and running around and things like that. And I remember thinking of baptism as, you know, that would be the time where my life would change, but obviously it did not change. And then it seemed like it was, you had to look at always looking at something ahead of you, that sometime, you know, things would change. The next thing would have been marriage, and then that happened, and it was like several years into our marriage that I realized that I am not changing, that I am, my heart and my thoughts are as wicked as they ever were. And that's when I finally came to a point where I realized that I needed help and power that was beyond my own ability. I got into some things in about 5 years into my marriage that finally kind of brought it to a head, and I cried out to the Lord. And I cannot say that I know exactly when it happened. I know it was somewhere in the year of the either 1999 or the year of 2000. I'm not sure exactly. But when I look back over those years, I see the changes that took place. Okay. And know that God was working in my life. When I was converted, one of my first reactions was to become actually more Amish, more into the Ordnung and things, and I was wholeheartedly convinced that that there was probably was not perfect, but I still thought that they were probably as close as anybody is. As time went on, it seemed like little by little the Lord showed me different things. I got a hunger for Scripture. I started reading it. First of all, I started reading it in German just because I felt that was, you know, my duty. I wanted to read it in German. That was seemed like the right thing to do. That's kind of what the Amish church would have taught, in a sense. And didn't go very far until I realized that I wasn't understanding what I'm reading. And I decided to read it in German and English. And finally, I just realized that it's just, I was hungry. I wanted to know the Scripture. I wanted to read. I wanted to know more. And I really was just bogging me down. I couldn't really get anywhere. So I just set aside the German and started reading it in English. And as I read, there was a little thing, seems like little by little, the Lord showed me different things. I was a smoker, tobacco user, and I was very early on was convicted on that habit. I knew I needed to quit. My dad would have told me that many times, but I always thought my dad was just a little odd, and that. But when I was converted, I realized that he was right. So anyway, as time went on, it seemed like the Lord showed us things little by little. Had a bad language habit, and that had to go. And so it was about 3 years after I was converted that I probably really started realizing what happened. In the meantime, if somebody would ask me if I was born again, I'm not sure what I would have said. But know that in that time, I had an assurance. In the church I was a part of, but anyway, it was about the year of 2003 that we moved from an area in Lancaster County where there was a lot of truth preached, where the lot had a lot of appreciation for the ministers, and my uncle was a preacher there, and he's a believer, and he taught the Word of God, a lot of good things. And then we moved from that area into southern Lancaster County and was shocked at what we found. I just had no idea that there was darkness that is in a lot of places. A lot of fighting over just material things and things that really made no sense. And at that time, even before that, before we moved, there was a lot of things going on in my heart that I was just searching and trying to find my way and just seeing needs in the church and just things that I just was very puzzled about. 2003 when we moved down here, it just magnified what I saw. So anyway, I finally came to the point where I just crying out to the Lord, just asking for direction. Every morning I would come out and I would say, know what is right. I need to know. I need to know which direction to go. So, time went on. Say a word to my family. Okay, anyway, let's go on. Started searching and as time went on, I started seeing things. God started revealing things to me. Started reading his word and really getting a hunger for what God was saying. And so in little by little, there was things coming up. I would come across scriptures like Mark 7, where Jesus is talking about the Pharisees, and he says, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem, Mark 7, verse 1, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. When the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the hypocrite, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Yet in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. And so as I read that, I realized that that was what I was seeing. That was what I was already kind of seeing in the Amish church and just little by little, just God would reveal it to me. In that year, 2003, that fall, I finally came to a breakthrough where I realized that I needed to believe God's word in spite of everything I had been taught. So I was willing, and that was a time when it was just a real breakthrough for me, and I felt so free. So liberated when I realized that I could trust God and His Word, that God was speaking to me, that He was showing me these things. And so, anyway, was willing to, at that time, just lay aside everything I'd been taught, open the Word of God, and just read it and believe it. And it seemed like just a life flooded my soul. It just seemed like it was so freeing. And with that, the first thing I did is I started sharing with everybody I talked to. Anybody that would stop and listen, I would share what God was doing and what I was learning. And I shared with quite a bit with friends and siblings and other people in the area here. And it wasn't very long till it kind of got me in trouble. There was an ordination down here, and a very good friend of mine was ordained, somebody that I had shared with quite a bit, and so I was all of a sudden actually in the lot with him that fall, and I was all of a sudden accused of deceiving him because he was planning to be the Amish because of what I had shared with him. And it wasn't necessarily in a good way. He was carnally minded. He was thinking about cars and computers and things that he could have. And so that was just kind of a shock to us. All of a sudden we were ostracized throughout the whole community. There was rumors and things going on, and for about a week I walked around in a daze, and I couldn't figure out what was happening. I couldn't figure out why all of this was happening. I kept telling God that I just wanted the truth. I just wanted to know what is right. I just wanted to follow Him. I wanted to be a blessing. That was one of my prayers as we came down here, moved down here many times. I prayed that we could be a blessing in this community. And just couldn't understand why this was happening. Why were people misunderstanding me like that? Why didn't they hear what I said? And I just couldn't figure it out. And in the midst of that, it was tremendous emotional pain, like I've never experienced before or after. In the midst of that, there was probably some of the greatest times of joy that I experienced in my whole life as well. Just as that, and I look at it now and I realize that it was the best thing that could happen. God was dealing with myself, my reputation. I was a proud man. I was starting my own business. Bought a plot of land, built a house and a shop, and dreams. And I was proud. I had was very carnal. Was a lot of things that I wanted to do, and I was going to be somebody. So I look back and I see that it was the best thing that God was preparing me for what He was about to do. He was showing me the way little by little. Even though it was a very painful time, God was dealing with my reputation. That was completely gone. So the end of all of that happened there. It was like I had no reputation anymore. I had nothing to defend on my own. My reputation was gone. And, you know, we started hearing rumors that people were hearing. My mom would call me every once in a while and ask if this or that is true. And, you know, some of the things that people were repeating and believing were just astounding and depressing for us. So, but like I said, in the midst of all that, I found some of the greatest joy that I've ever experienced. And I have a few scriptures I'd like to read on those lines. One of the things, like I said, is that is a strong tendency for us, and I think all of us that have come from the Amish background must admit this issue has had somewhat or the other of an effect. there's many similarities when you look at, let's say, somebody like a Muslim or a Jew, that when their children leave their faith or become Christians, they are, in the Muslim world, many times even killed. And so there's a high price to pay. The Amish shares a lot of similarities. There's also a high price to pay. There's friends and family that you will probably lose. But there's also another thing that is tends to taint the whole testimony, and that is people realizing their liberty and going for wrong reasons. There's actually people that are not even believers that leave the Amish for the sake of having a car or whatever else it might be. And so there's those kind of things that tend to taint the testimony of God if we are not careful. And my heart is lift up the standard of Christ and his sufferings, and that we are to be partakers of his sufferings. You know, this is not something that, you know, we can walk away from and then have all these things and think that now we just go on and live the good life and after a while you find that, you know, your values are pretty much the same as they were before and you have your business and you do this and you do that. And I think there's many people that make that move that end up in a situation where there is as much, if not more, compromise in their lives as what it was when they were with the Amish Church. That's a great concern to me. And I would just like to lift up the standard there of partaking of Christ's suffering. You know, Paul, in prison for preaching the gospel, is... he wrote the book of Philippians when he was out of prison, and there's probably no place that Paul writes more about joy and rejoicing than he does in the book of Philippians. We are to be partakers of Christ's suffering. And what was, you know, let's we can take a little bit of a look at what Christ's suffering was. You know, he was not rich. He had pretty much the clothes that he wore, and that was it. He didn't have a whole lot more. And so Christ lived as an example to us, living a life of sacrifice. And what was the sacrifice for? You know, there's people that make sacrifices, even in the Amish community, there's lots of sacrifice. But the sacrifice is for the wrong reasons many times. And so you have to look at Paul and at Christ and some of those examples and say, you know, what was the sacrifice for? And in both of those cases, it was the sacrifice was clearly for the sake of the gospel. It was that others might know that might know that same joy, that same peace, the hope of glory. That was the reason that Jesus was sacrificing. That's the reason he went to the cross and bore our sins on the cross. And that was the reason that Paul was sacrificing. That was the reason he was in prison in Rome when he wrote the book of Philippians. And so if we can look at it from that perspective, it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we are to think like Jesus thought. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ, also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, if Jesus Christ would have come from his heavenly kingdom down to be the most royal king or prince on this earth, it would have been a huge step down for him. But he did not stop there. He did not stop at being an earthly king or somebody in a royal palace. He went all the way down. He did not even stop at the average person, the average family. You know, the mainstream, the people that, you know, are pretty well. He did not even stop there. He made him, he took upon him the form of a servant. He was born into a peasant family, very poor people. And that's the mind that was in Christ. Made himself a no reputation, took upon the form of a servant who was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the thing that I would like to just lift up this morning as we consider all that God has done for us, and all that Christ has done for us, and the example he gave for us, and the example that Paul gave for us in his life, a life of suffering and death and dying. We consider that, it makes things look very different. We cannot, having this treasure in earthen vessels, sit back, enjoy the good life. Can we? If we do, we do not have the mind of Christ in us. This is what Paul is instructing us with, us that we should have the mind of Christ. That mind that was willing to sacrifice, forsake all that it might know and be saved. So that's the point that I would like to just really lift up here. That we do not fall in this trap of thinking that we can walk away from this Amish system and just live the good life and think that in the end God's going to accept us and that that we can, in other words, go through this life without taking up our cross and think we're going to be accepted into heaven in the end. Jesus said, I don't have the verse in front of me here, but to the effect that we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. But going on in the Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. It's interesting as you look at the word joy throughout the Bible, and you will notice that many times it's very closely linked with suffering. In Paul's writings, and the same way in Jesus' writings, in Yes, Luke 6, verse 22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men speak, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And very strong warnings and some very sobering thoughts there. Back to Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, if conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That power and that suffering is very closely linked. In Philippians 2, where he talks about, and being made in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then the very next verse says, verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So as you look at that, Jesus' life, an example, and then also at Paul's teaching, the suffering, the power and the suffering is always very closely linked. And we want the power of God, we must be partakers of the sufferings of Christ. There's no other way to it. Let's go on to Philippians chapter 4, again talking about rejoicing. Paul writing this from prison. Rejoice in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything be by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that peace of God is something that, you know, from my experience, going through the intense emotional pain and the suffering that we went through, being ostracized by the community and people, all kinds of and you know, there was many times when we thought we could not face the people again. But it was amazing how many times, those were the very times when God came through with just great joy and peace that passes all understanding, that, you know, we should have made any sense at all. But when I look back and I felt God's power in our life and I felt God's presence and the peace of God to a measure that, you know, I haven't felt in other times. And it was always right in the midst of those kind of trials, times when we felt like we couldn't face people again. And then when the time came to go to church, in the Amish church on a Sunday morning again, God would give us such peace and joy, and we would be able to meet people with joy and with a hearty greeting, and it was just amazing how many times God came through when we thought we were finished and that we could not go on anymore. That's the thing that that I would like to just really emphasize, that, you know, we do not get caught up in this idea that leaving the Amish is a good thing in the easy life. And I do not want to be promoting just the idea of leaving the Amish. Early, I recognize that many times is what happens if somebody really seriously wants to go on with the Lord, but that is not the end in itself. That's only one of the things that happens as you follow Jesus Christ and you keep your eyes on Him, not wavering, not questioning, just trusting Him for your day-to-day experiences. And I look back over my life, even while we were at Amish, and I realized there was many mistakes that we had made. You know, there's lots of, looking back, there's lots of opportunities we missed to share the gospel with other people. There's lots of times that we did not say the things that we should have said, and lots of times that we shirked our duty, and we compromised. There was a time when we were asked before the church, and we basically made a confession in front of the church that we're sorry that we went to Bible studies and things like that, and things that, you know, we honestly could not say from our heart. And so those were times of testing and trial and times when we, you know, fell into some compromise. But when I look back over all those things, we realize that God used even those we failed. I recognize that. Same time, God used that, and He put us through something that we realized later that we would not want to go through again. We were not going to surmise again. That was out of the question. I would just like to leave that with you, that, you know, from the outside, many times it might look good, look easy, might look even appealing, people, to leave the Amish and to, because of the liberty. And, amen, there is liberty. But you can partake of that liberty wherever you are today. If you commit yourself to walking with Jesus Christ, you commit yourself to following Him, whatever the cost, that's where the liberty is found. The liberty is not found in things. The liberty is not found in what you can have. That's not where the liberty is. The liberty is something that Christ gives you wherever you are, where you are, right now, today. That you can commit yourself to Christ today and commit yourself to following Him and His Word today, whatever it might cost. Yes, maybe there's things that technically or legally you could have according to God's Word that you do not have today, and you're willing to forfeit because of where you're at, and that is right and good. The liberty does not come with things. Again, I want to leave that with you. The liberty does not come with things. It comes with Jesus Christ and walking with Him. And you can have that liberty today, right where you are, right now. Verse 17, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And then Jesus goes through the Ten Commandments, and of course it ends up, this is a very, he went away sad. And then verse 23, and Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and said unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. But anyway, it goes on down, then in the end it says, Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And then Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. And that is our testimony. When I look back, there was as a young Amish businessman, being an outgoing people person, I enjoyed lots of friends and being around a lot of people, and there's many things that I dreamed about that state that seemed like when we were in 2003, when we were first kind of ostracized and then later excommunicated, it seemed like those dreams got dashed to pieces. As time goes on, I see God fulfilling those dreams in ways that I had never imagined. Fellowship and the friends, and so many friends and that we would have never known before. And they're true friends. They're not just friends that are friends because we grew up in the same place, or we have the same background, or we grew up neighbors or friends or whatever, but they're friends that are friends because of our common, what's the word I want to use? It's a goal, but not only that, the common fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been saved from our sins. And we can fellowship around that in a way that we could never around houses and lands and you know, milk prices and business and things like that. And that is our testimony, that God has done that very thing a hundredfold plus, probably.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Yeah, amen to that. Yes, the true liberty in Christ is not to be free to do what we want to be, but to be free from the bondage of sin.
Amen.
I'd just like to open it up here this morning. Five-star, we'll unmute your line if you have a comment or maybe you have a question for Brother Steve. Please feel free to share this morning. Five-star, we'll unmute your line.
This is Melvin. I'm up in northern New York. Really blessed in listening in this morning and hearing that testimony. So many similarities of my own experience. I don't know that I ever heard Steve's testimony, and I was just blessed in hearing that. And just again, the endeavorment to uphold the truth of Jesus Christ and lift him up as that focus to focus on, and not leaving some denomination or going some certain way that you determined to go, but to come to that place of loving the truth and just pursuing after that truth with an honest heart. And finally, as you take step by step, coming to the place where at all costs you will pursue that truth, and how that God in his grace and mercy will start ministering to you and ministering peace and rest to your soul, even in the midst of a tremendous turmoil. And I was just, those things were just stirred up in me again this morning with just the blessing of pursuing truth. And I guess that was the highlight of that testimony to me this morning. Pursue truth and commit all things unto God, who will take care of all the details of life. Too many times we want to handle the details and how things are supposed to work out, and therefore we end up manipulating truth and compromising and trying to sway this way or that way. But, you know, it does come up right, and it does not bring peace. I just want to say praise God for that testimony. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about me and where I'm going to end up. The Lord may want me in Africa. He may want me in India. He may want me here in America. It doesn't matter where I go, but it does matter what I do with Jesus. And that's what I caught this morning, and I just praise God for that. Thank you, Brother Steve, for sharing that.
This is Brother Joe in Iowa. Good morning to y'all.
Hi, Brother Joe.
I appreciate the testimony. You know, on top of what Brother Melvin just shared, one of the things that I think in America we're not taught a lot about, and that's how to suffer for Christ. Not just to suffer for the sake of suffering, but to suffer for righteousness. I've heard the comment made by different ministers over the years. It's easier probably to die for Christ than it is to live for him. And the scriptures in Philippians really kind of stood out to me this morning of how we as believers and followers of Jesus, what that may cost us in this generation, especially in America where we're, I say, exempt from persecution. Maybe in some circles, you brothers come out of a plain background, know more about persecution than I do, not coming from a plain background. But I found it encouraging still. My persecution is mild compared to what we see in some parts of the world, but it still gives you a good perspective of having the mind of Christ. That really jumped out to me. Good testimony. Thanks for the encouragement.
Okay, well, let's have a word of prayer. Yes, our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Father. God, we thank you, Lord, that you look down on man, Lord, and you see those, Father, that are hungry for you, Lord, those that are hungry for your word, Lord, and you send your Holy Spirit, Father, to convict of sin, Lord, and to draw us to the Lord Jesus. And I just marvel at that, Father, how that you can can take a man and you can change his heart, Father, and as he yields to you, God, that you can change his thought process, and you can change the way that he lives. And Father, I just thank you for that miracle, Lord, of the new birth, Lord, where you can set a man free from a sin to make him free from the guilt of his sin, Lord, and to wipe his sin away through the blood of Christ. And I just want to bless you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for the transforming power of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the testimony this morning, God, and may your name be glorified, Lord. And we do thank you, and we do praise you, Father, in Jesus' name.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mose, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.